still only my experience with Muncie. Like, I live on this, on the south side of town, and I worked at a public library, which was in walking distance of two homeless shelters. And I, if I have not read through the statistics about poverty and educational attainment or anything, whether you want to hear them or not, I'll probably share them at some point.
Next week's open mic. Next week's open mic.
Well, yeah, but anyways, there's a lot of need for stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And Second Harvest is such a great one. Like, all the stuff we do, the organizations we do are really great, but Second Harvest is also merging with another organization called Teamwork for Quality Living, which isn't just handouts, it's poverty elimination. So they bring people together and they say, hey, here's how you do a budget, or here's what can you offer.
Yeah.
So it's just the whole thing. So there's Second Harvest, which is the food giveaway, but then Teamwork helps actually lift people out of poverty. So if you don't do anything else the whole year, if you don't do anything, like, if you support this organization, like,
yeah,
it's just, they're like a catapult out of poverty. So help. Just do it. They're great.
Just do it. That would be a great slogan, advertising campaign. Let's take that before somebody else gets it. Thank you. Somebody else? Anyone want to say an ad? Can I just tell you a real name? Oh, Nate, are you volunteering?
Yeah. So I think that this is kind of a line that you only emphasize once in the sermon, but I think it was the most powerful thing you said was... how we have a tendency to, like, look at where we are and compare it to where we thought we should be.
Mm-hmm.
But you can entirely change that perspective if you look at where you are and compare it to where you could have been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as soon as you said that, like, a million scenarios started running through my head. It's like, if something went, like, slightly differently there, you know, that'd be awful, you know, where I'd be now, that kind of thing. So it's just... I think that's just a perspective that people kind of dwell on this week, because it really does change the way you view your circumstances. If you look at, well, here are the things that went right when they could have gone really, really wrong.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, kind of back up. This morning I woke up super feeling sorry for myself because I'm out of remission with my Crohn's. And, like, I have a lot of swelling. Notice my belly is a little bit larger, because things hurt a lot. And typically I can ignore the Crohn's, but whenever I have, when I get out of remission and it reminds me, I'm like, this is how I'm gonna die. And it scares the bejesus out of me and I feel sorry for myself. But I checked, Facebook has that time hop thing. And 7 years ago today, Mike accepted his position at Greenfield Central High School, which was like a major blessing. And then I was like, oh, thank you so much, God.
I think you're missing something today.
Oh.
Honestly.
Okay.
But that's just where I'm at. But it's been that way for me for a long time. I'm real good at it. You know, we're tired. Nathan this and all the shit we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I can whine real good. I can beat you.
Well, challenge accepted.
Unless you said something to me, and Wes might remember, but I don't remember what he said, but what I heard him say was, suck it up, cupcake.
Suck it up, buttercup.
But the point I wanted to make is, throughout my life, I focus on me. Here's the thing that I kind of felt like you missed.
Okay.
I focus on me. You're talking about your focus on where I thought I was going to be, where I was.
Yep.
And that's the problem.
Yep.
It's I, not them. And I've got my best friend in the whole world, that was her cousin that I grew up with. His life's a hell of a lot shittier than mine.
Mm-hmm.
So when I start whining and crap like that,
yep,
I talk to him almost every other weekend. And after I talk to him for about 5 minutes, I'm like, Lord, forgive me when I whine.
Yeah.
You know, my wife isn't dying of cancer. You know, my kids aren't in the hospital. Yeah, it's shitty.
Yeah.
So much more, you know.
Yeah.
When I go to the grocery store, I don't have to count my pennies, or I don't have to watch what I buy normally, because I usually have the money to buy what it is that I think that I need. So your focus. I. For the first time, you know, a couple months ago, I have a neighbor that we do not like, but they've lived beside us for 27 years. And I really didn't like him. But his dad, he was 90 something, died. I went over and I sat with him and talked to him, and he showed me all the stuff that normally I really wouldn't care about, but that day I did. Yeah. And I seen him for the first time as not just a pain in my ass neighbor, but somebody that just lost their dad, his best friend, who he fished with every all summer long.
Wow.
And he's got his dad's hat on the dashboard where his dad would sit because he didn't drive no more. So Steve's got his dad's hat sitting right on the dashboard of the truck he got from his dad when he died. And it was like a light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, usually I just look at him as pains, and I'll give you a million reasons why I didn't care for him at all.
Yep.
But when you quit looking at yourself, I hired a guy 3 months ago somewhere. He's homeless. He's got a bedroom now, but it's a long story. But Jason was homeless. He lived in his truck, in a driveway. They let him use the facilities, and they let him eat with them. But he lived in his truck with all his possessions besides the storage shed here in Munson.
Wow.
So lately, for me, I've been able to see others more than usual, because like you said, it's a journey, you know. Mm-hmm. I've been here before, I went over here, I did my thing, I won, you know, but lately I've been going back the other way, the good way, where my life isn't all just about me, even though a lot of the time it is. But
so true.
I don't mean anything bad by it at all, but I just feel like that was a point that I didn't hear. I kept waiting for you to bring it to me.
That's so good, though. Yeah, true.
And to go there, at least in my ears.
This is the second time, though, I think, that you've done this. And both times I've said, you're preaching. And every time you're like, oh, no. But you remember, like, it was also when we did the little string thing. Remember, that was been like 5 or 6 years ago. That's so true. And it's because it is. Like, when we're whining, we think we're talking about them. But we're really just,
always somebody anywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe even sitting beside you. You just don't know.
The root of complaining is pride.
Yeah. You nailed it, though. You nailed it. And Kevin heard that. You nailed it. And this is what I'm going to do. It was fabulous today, by the way. So
oh, thanks.
The whole series is going to miss some.
You have missed some. Not that we're keeping track, but I think 4. No, I'm just kidding. I just made that up. I don't know. I'm just
kidding. Well, I'm always track how many times I call.
Are you serious? Yeah. Kevin called. You call her and she's like, it's been 9 days since your last call. It's like confession or something. Yeah. Anyway.
You nailed it when you said that part about the promised land, and that Moses didn't get to the promised land until his calling was complete.
Yeah.
And when Kevin spent so much time that day over at Steve's and he came back in, he was like, I'm sorry, like he was taking time away from me.
Yeah.
And I said, I never loved him more.
Wow.
Because there's a big difference in him when he's doing something somebody else.
Date night. Boom, chicka, boom, boom. So true, though. And that's the promised land, by the way. That story you just said, I mean, I hope that's the promised land. Sitting there with a guy who just lost his dad, hearing those stories.
And then the people around him see it too.
Yeah. I wish I'd had that. If I had that story, I would have put that in my sermon, because that's what I'm talking about. That was beautiful.